May I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A verse from the Gospel. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. When I read that this week, and then I thought, oh my goodness, that's the Omicron version of the pandemic. And I caught myself about a real conviction in myself that I don't like these readings about the end times. Because I can't help myself that I read from it into the times around me. It's a great temptation to do that, to read a passage like that and just look around and say, well, this is that. And to then be afraid. And this week I had the great blessing of meeting with one of my clergy colleagues, the Reverend John Perkin of First Baptist Church. We made a video together. And John Perkin said to me, I love these readings. And that prompted me to do a bit of a reappraisal, because I recognized my readiness to go into the current news and say, this is that. And I think in every generation, people have had to face this discomfort of whether this is that, and how do we interpret when we have Jesus saying these things. And not just Jesus. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as Jesus. It's in the book of Revelation, and it's also in the book of Daniel. There is a technical term. There are technical terms that have been created by the people who study these particular readings. And I want to spare you from most of them, but there are two that are regularly used, so I'm going to just repeat them. Eschatology. You may hear that word, and the ology part means basically the science of. The science of the last things, or ultimate destiny. And the other word is apocalypse. And technically, it's the same word as revelation. It's a revealing. And it comes from the Greek, which literally means to take the lid off. So if you take the lid off of a wonderful jam, and you can just smell the waft of that jam, and you want to put it on your bread, it's that version. That's what the Greek is. Take the lid off. But in the popular imagination, it's about complete destruction and a new heaven and a new earth. The technical terms come in, how do we deal with that? How do we interpret it? And so I'm going to skip past the other technical terms and just put them in my own words. Some people think it's all just in the past. It happened in Daniel's time and it happened in Jesus's time. These terrible things Jesus speaks about, they're done. And so don't worry. Other people would say, well, it was partly in Jesus or Daniel's time, but it was also in the time when the Gospels were written. It was a time when the temple was destroyed and people were fearing destruction all around them. That's why they remembered these sayings of Jesus. And they'll bring out other examples in history that were cataclysmic. And then there are people who will say, no, 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 it's all in the future. Some way, way, way in the future, the way people talk about the sun going and becoming a superstar and then it'll all burn up, that far in the future. The difficult one is the people who say, no, 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 it's happening now. In various current events. And lots of people make money off of that. Selling books about how to interpret it, equating various people and situations with the ones that Jesus is describing. And it's actually where we are most susceptible, which is why I mentioned my example of the Omicron version of the coronavirus. It's just so easy to look at it and say, well, this in the text, this in society, this must be it. And so I had to wonder with my colleague John Perkin how he got to be so enthusiastic and full of hope from reading a passage like this one. So here's what I'm thinking about that. Even in our popular culture where people don't read the scriptures, there was a movie, Apocalypse Now. There are no end of disaster movies where comets are going to strike the earth, or nuclear wars, or every Marvel superhero has incredible destruction other than the superheroes themselves, or maybe even the superheroes. It's kind of like popular apocalypse, popular eschatology. And people willingly go and pay money to sit in movies of that, and then they come out of the cinema and they continue to lead productive, hopeful lives. There's a book that just came out called The Theology of Horror. People go to horror movies, and if they're not religious, they get a sense of the religious imagination, and it actually moves them on in how they think about the world. This is the contention of the author of this book, The Theology of Horror. I think the point of it is to face into fear and then be people of hope. After all, the most frequently used passage, the most frequently quoted passage, the most frequent passage is "Fear not." And the idea here is set your eyes on what it is that you fear, and nevertheless, be people of hope. And so I thought about my fears, and I thought about how I would translate them into my hopes. And I am going to invite you to do that as well. But let me share three of them with you. They come out of my fears, but I had to work on it to make it into the language of hope. I hope we are able to continue to summon resilience in this time of the pandemic. You see the news changing, you see the disciplines changing. It's upon us this week, and we're still figuring out how to make it go smoothly here. I hope we can summon the resilience with whatever it is and whatever it will be. And just hoping that we will have that, I feel myself ready to trust that I will have that resilience, that it's going to be okay. Second one, and this is a personal one. I hope that in this process I've gone through of making Ottawa my home, it will continue to be a blessing, and even more and more a blessing. That comes out of a fear, but I've tried to put it in the language of my hope. Thirdly, we are undergoing a lot of processes at St. John's all at the same time. We have a sense that the diocese would like St. John's to continue to be here and would even invest in that. And we are putting our own best feet forward by having a stewardship campaign now in which we're even saying what we hope the outcome will be. And you've heard it from Barbara and Emmy, and you've seen it in the literature that we have shared, that we hope even for a specific amount of increase to the budget of our church in our offerings, an amount which we specify as 10%. Now, we have had a little peek. I mean, these envelopes aren't open, but we had a little peek. That's what it is. It's 10%. We hope for our future here at this corner of the city in this time, and our hope is being fulfilled right in front of us in our actions. We might have had to work on a fear of, well, what if it doesn't work? But that's not where we are. We are people of hope, looking to the future of serving God here. And so now I do want to turn it back to you to think about what your fears are right now. And how would you rework that to say what you hope for as God works through our prayers and our hopes? Amen.